Blog Talk Radio.
This one goes out to my little homie Brandon. Told you, I got you, my man.
A lot of pressure, man. Let's go, baby. Sophisticated gorillas is on the move tonight. VA, stand up. Come on. Come on. My man. 100 miles and running. With guns in our hand. Barbarian, heavy metal, carrying rock band. Invested in stock, man. Testing the clock, grand. My peeps got a spot on the block of our block, fam. A jar in the pot, man. Gets you a knot, man. Like ching ching. Hot damn. Cooked it like hot ham. Gotta be smart, man. Playing your part, man. Get your feelings apart. With ice over your heart, man. Hustling ain't a game. Hustling the art, man. 50% sour. 50% smart, man. And lame as turns ain't.
Come on.
And let's calm down the curses, cause the Christians got offended. And
They had three major policies that were going to be followed. First, Lucifer says, we have to make sure that people, humans, get to believe that Satan and his angels do not really exist.
You know, Roger, that's interesting because a recent research study report that I read indicated that in a national survey, I believe it's over 75% of people do not really believe in a real tangible devil. But there is one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the next thing, the three-part policy that they had adopted there, the second one was to find a way of being able to get total control of people's minds. And that would be done by taking hypnotism out of the realm of the occult and introduce it as a new science for the benefit of mankind. They felt that by taking hypnotism out of the realm of the occult and introducing it as a new science for the benefit of mankind, they could then use people of great renown, educators, people of capacity, that would do great things, such as supposedly regress people in time to former lives. And of course, after the session is over, the person would not know a thing about ancient history. And the person she or he has talked about performing, you know, certain deeds, let's say, 3,000-4,000 years ago. But this was their strategy. Now, what this would do for the thing is this, that it would create in the minds of the general public, solidly set in the minds of the general public, an unwavering trust in that great deception. So now this would be a way of de-Christianizing the Western world through the avenue of mysticism.
The three things were, number one, that they did not want Satan did not want the human family to think that he or his angels existed.
Right.
The second point that you made had to do with taking control of people's minds.
That's right.
The third point was what?
Was to destroy the Bible without burning it.
Okay.
See.
And what was his strategy on that?
On that, it was very interesting. Because after the Great General Council, it was decided that Satan would tutor Charles Darwin personally in setting up the principles of his theories of evolution. He was tutored by Lucifer himself, Fallen Lucifer. And at that time, it was understood, Satan and his spirit counselors understood, that if a person was led to believe in the theory of evolution, it would, in his life, destroy completely the creation week of the Bible, the fall of man, and final redemption. It would do away with it. Anyone that teaches a theory of evolution is considered to be a minister of the great religious system. And he said that every teacher of that theory is recognized by the spirit as a person of great value and receives a very special unction from Satan himself, giving great power to induce spiritual blindness, to convince and convert. Three capacities.
As you may know, we got policies here, man. Anytime MC set to the mic, you gotta catch record for the rap. DJ Revolution, Carmelita, Sway of King Tech, and the rap is coming down hard in the new millennium, C-Lo. You ain't been here yet.
I know something.
You forgot, you know. You ready?
Can I do a piece of watching or something?
Yeah.
Turn my mic on.
Turn your mic on.
Hello.
Can you
In the beginning there was none other than the original people, skin blackened from the sun. But somewhere along the line I broke the laws of the divine, and a curse placed on the soul of mine. Hell became the color of my face, feeling out of place amongst the people of my race. Filled with hate, I moved to a colder climate, intercourse with animals and raw flesh with ache. Filled with disease, sub-zero degrees, and Satan's blood in my veins didn't freeze. The hatred that I have for you, it runs deeper than your skin. I hate the one who put me in this position that I'm in, until I realize the powers of evil. Anything I have to do, I will. I still kill and destroy. Went home to Africa looking for slaves to employ. Blue eyes and a smile was my only decoy. Snatch you up from your roots. What good is the spirit when I have this new invention that you brought you here and deceived you? I change and rearrange everything that you have ever believed true. My soul is cold as ice is. I sold you for prices. You were hung from trees for sacrifices. But through the blood, sweat, tears, and pain, God's spirit in y'all still remains. Which is actually more than I got. But I have a mansion and a yacht. The plot is making you think that it's about what it's not. With precision, I tell you lies through television. Distort your religion, wrap you up in materialism. How could you kill your own? Don't you see? You're learning to act just like me. But be more aware that the truth is there. I tell you all the time, but you ears don't care. But not all of you. There are a few that get into themselves and books on shelves and learn something new. And once they know, they become so powerful. But many don't have the means nor the inspiration to go to school. And I know they hate it, but you can't get a decent job unless you're properly educated. But educated about what? It seems to me that the far, you've only learned about who we are. Isn't that funny? You'll give a school all your money for what you think you need, but it's never guaranteed. The misled mislead you. Your faith has been broken, provoking you to do whatever will feed you. Well, I thought you could cook cocaine in plain plastic sacks to sell to your fellow blacks. But why the foundation of your people cracked? You tried to resist, but I won't stop it till you don't exist. Strong though, I give you that. But you must be stupid as hell to be that strong and still be where you at. And you still don't have a clue. I am who I am because of nerds like you. Yeah. I
Damn.
Piece of poetry.
Wow. That was like,
I try not to rhyme, but I try to have a point, so I did do something written.
Oh, you had a point.
That might go down. He got another one. I'm sure he does. No, me, Chuck. I don't. That may be one of the most profound verses that we've ever had in the history of our show.
I didn't say too much time.
Yeah. Juicy banana for morning. I'm gonna take you out of earth. Juicy banana for morning.
I'm from the murder capital. Will we murder for capital?
Juicy banana for morning. I'm gonna take you out of earth.
He got them dark forces in him, but he also got a righteous cause for sending them to murder me. So I gotta murder them first, emergency. Doctors performing procedures, Jesus. I ain't trying to be facetious, but vengeance is mine, said the Lord. You said it better than all. Leave niggas on death's door, breathing off rest for raiders for killing my best four haters. On permanent high haters as I skate in the Maybach Benz, sliding to annihilation. Bumping brown sugar by D'Angelo in Los Angeles, like an evangelist. I can introduce you to your makeup, bring you closer to nature. Ashes after they cremate you bastards. Hope you've been reading your psalms and chapters, paying your tithes, being good Catholic. I'm coming. From the murder capital, will we murder for capital? I wet y'all all with the holy water. Spray from the heckler. Catch order. Medic or the static. Shall cease to exist like a thematic. Who I throw a couple at you, take six. Spread love to all of my dead thugs. I pour out a little Louis to a head above. Yes, sir. And when I perish, the meek shall inherit the earth. Till that time is on and popping. Church. Like Don Bishop. The fifth of Palm Cock Eva. Lift up your soul and give you the Holy Ghost. Please, I leave you with somebody to be you. I'm stunting like evil Knievel. I let you see where that bright light leads you. The more you talk, the more you irking us. The more you gon' need memorial services. The black album, second verse is like devil's pie. Say some dessert for us. Man, I gotta get my soul right. I gotta get these devils out my life. These cowards gonna make a nigga ride. They won't be happy till somebody dies. No, man, I gotta get my soul right. So I'm locked up for my whole life. Every time it seems it's all right. Let me get somebody, somebody want they soul to rise. I chase you off in the dreams. The hole in the 9 mil of the bomb killer. Asking them why as my eyes fill up. These days I can't wake up with a dry pillow. Gone but not forgotten, homes I still feel you. So curse the day that birthed the bastard who caused a church mass. Reverse the crash, reverse the blast, and reverse the car. Reverse the day, and there you are. Father, Lord, forgive him. We all have sinned. But Bob's a good dude, please let him in. And if you feel in my heart that I long for revenge, please blame it on the sun of the morning.
Hello, everybody. It's a Sunday night, and it's 10:16. I've been playing some music to get you an idea of where I'm about to go with this. Usually I give my listeners some advertisement, but tonight's going to be a different night. Tonight's open mic night. If you want to call in, please call in, because I got some things I got to get off my chest. Okay? The reason why I was playing all this stuff, besides my intro, I played The Great Deception of the Devil. I played CeeLo and what he been through, trying to tell the people what he been through. And I played Jay-Z and Kanye West's song called Lucifer, okay? He was saying, Lucifer, Lucifer, star of the morning. You want to look that up? That's in Revelations, all right? I got another one coming from you from Eminem. This song is called My Darling. And when I start talking about this stuff, I want y'all to get I want you to have a better understanding where I'm coming from. Okay? So here go Eminem right now, My Darling. Oh, gotta lay wait till it load up. Okay, while it's loading, if you want to call in tonight, 347-989-1014. King James Version, Ephesians 6:6-13. Not with eye service and man pleasers, but the servant of Christ doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing with good of knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same he shall receive of the Lord, whether it be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also in heaven, neither is there respect of the persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle against, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against fallen angels, dark angels, against powers, against dark, powerful, fallen angels, against rulers of darkness of this world, against rulers of dark angels of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, against spiritual wicked angels in high places. Wherefore, take upon the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and doing all is done to stand. And let the church say amen. Okay? So oh Lord Jesus, look at here. Okay, the devil want to act crazy. Okay, don't worry, devil. Don't worry. We got a solution for you. It's not uploading, but don't worry. I'm gonna upload this one more time for Brother Satan. He is not gonna get no glory. None. He's not gonna get no glory. So basically, I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all where I'm coming from on this one. I am coming from some things that that's been put on my heart and my mind to tell the people. I had a good session with my big brother, Charles. And I want to make it plain for my listeners, because sometimes we think that we're gonna hurt each other's feelings. Okay? We gotta remember we live in two worlds, the spiritual and the physical. The heart is worn on our sleeves. That's why we become hurt and emotional. That's why we become emotional creatures, because we want to love, but sometimes when we love, we get burned by the ones that love us, and we feel like they have an alt against us, and maybe they do. Maybe they do. But I'm here to tell you today. Let's see. I'm here to tell you today. We're gonna put an end to the devil. We're gonna put an end to him today. Oh yeah. We're gonna put an end to him today. If I can't get these things uploaded, don't worry. I got a backup plan. Because Satan know where I'm going with this, and he don't want my people, my listeners, to understand what's going on. But it's time out to be afraid of him. Time out. I'm going to go and play it loud so y'all can hear it. Yeah, come on now. Here it is right here.
I don't ever want you to leave me, my darling. You and me were meant to be together, my darling. Here's my
All right, my wonderful fans. Listen, I'm glad people tune in to my website and my radio show, because those who want the truth will get the truth. Why did you play that? Why did you try to play Eminem to make a point? Because Eminem is the most awesome white rapper we have ever seen in our day and time in hip hop. He transcends every color line. You know why? Because his artistic ability reaches over into hip-hop community, but he told you. See, you never heard that song because it's not Slim Shady. It's not that catchy hook stuff that comes out. When he got lost and was taking drugs and all that stuff and he went crazy because he signed a contract with the devil. That's what this song's about. If you didn't hear it, look it up. It's called My Darling, okay? He said that Dre found him. He said that you want the contract, right? What you got to do? He shot the mirror trying to get rid of the devil. Then he said, I'm not in the mirror. He shot himself. He says, you can't kill me. I'm still with you. Let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says this in the New International Version. Proverbs 15:21, the heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of a wicked guiles of evil. Okay? All right. Now hang in there with me. Matthew 15:19 says, the New International Version says, from out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. This is not me, people. This is the Bible. I'm telling you what your heart is doing to you. See, God tells you to guard your heart because we are emotional creatures. We are emotional beings. Matthew said that. Prophet Jeremiah says this, 17:9, King James Version. The heart is deceitful above all things and demonstrates wickedness. Who can know it? Who can know it? Because we are emotional beings. And I want to end it with this. This is kind of long, but it's necessary that I read it because it gives the meats and the potatoes of what I'm about to get into right now. And I know y'all saying, George, you need to hurry up and get to your point, but I'm going to take my time. I'm going to sit on it. I'm going to roast on this right here because I'm about to sound off on some nice, hearty stew meat that you say, man, that tastes good. I'm about to give it to you. This comes from Proverbs 10:20. The Proverbs of Solomon, the wise son makes a godfather, but a foolish son is the heaviest of his mother. Treasures of the wickedness profits nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord will not suffer the souls of the righteous to famish, but he casts away the substance of wickedness. He becomes poor that deals with the lack of hands, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He that gathers in the summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in the harvest is the son that causes shame. Blessings are the head of the just, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in the heart will receive commandments, but the parting fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverbs his way shall be known. He that winks with the eye causes sorrow, but a fluttering fool shall fall. The heart of the righteous man is a well of life, but the violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin. In the lips of him that has understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is vague of the understanding. Wise men lay upon knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor man is his poverty. The labor of the righteous tends to life. The fruit of the wickedness is sin. He is in the way of life that keeps the instructions, but he that refuses reproof errors. That hides hatred with lying lips, and he that utters a slander is a fool. In the multitude of words, these words are not sin, but he that refrains his lips is wise. The tongue has the just is as choice as silver, and the heart is of wicked is like worth. Little worth. The lips of the righteous fade many, but the fools die for what that wisdom. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he added no sorrow with it. It is an sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding has wisdom. The fear of wickedness, it shall come on him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. As the whirlwind passes, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an old everlasting foundation. An everlasting foundation. As the guard of the teeth and the smoke of the eyes, so in the sluggishness of them that sends him. The fear of the Lord prolongs the days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. He hopes of righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wickedness shall perish. The way of the Lord is the strength of the upright, but destruction shall be the works of the iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inherit the earth. The mouth of the just brings forth wisdom, but the fortitude tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaks forward. Now, did you catch all that? Did you catch all that? Where are you going with this, George? Let me do what I do well, okay? Because I'm going to go ahead and play this for you. I'm going to go ahead and play this for you because y'all need this. Here we go. Got it.
The Epistle from James, chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what man of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion, and undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world.
Now, that was Apostle James. Okay, that was Jesus' brother. Ladies and gentlemen, I want y'all to know this. Why did I play that for you? Because there's two things that I've been talking about: was the heart, which is the emotional part, which is your tongue, which is wicked and all get out because you can't control it. And now we're about to go to the mind. We're about to go to the very essence of the mind. This is what I call, well, it's not what I call, it's what God called it. It's called the fruits of the Spirit. Okay, so I want you to understand when we start talking about the things that are of you, it's kind of hard to it's kind of hard to say, well, I really don't know what God wants for me. I don't really know what people want for me, because they always hurt me. We got to understand that we wear our hearts on our sleeves. We wear our hearts on our outside, and that's why we say it's our flesh. It's the physical form that gets all towed up. And then when we get all towed up, our spirit is towed up because we don't know how to cope. Okay? So the fruits of the spirits comes from Galatians 5:22-23. Okay? It says that the fruits of the spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearing, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But these are the things that cause our spirit to get weary or get stung like a bee. Sexual immoralities, impurity, or adultery, idling. Witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfless abundance, distortion, factions of envy, drunkenness, orgies, and others like this. And you say, well, George, why are you talking about stuff like this? It's because I played you. The great deception. There's three things that the devil wants us to know. He don't want us to know that he exists or he's real. The second thing is mind control over the masses of the people in this world. And the third is to destroy the Bible without having to burn it. Now, people, let me say, there's a lot of people who are atheists. And if you don't know what atheist is, that doesn't mean that they don't believe in God. It's just they don't believe in anything. Okay? And then there's Satanists and occultists, and they do believe in the devil and all that stuff. And then you got Wiccans who believe in the earth and such stuff, but they also dabble in witchcraft. Because, you know, you've got the good spirit and the evil spirit. So I will charge my listeners right now, because I've got the most intelligent, loving, caring listeners there are on this planet. There's a movie coming out about the Wizard of Oz. There's a good wizard, good witch, a bad witch, and another witch. Why are we sensitizing our children of witches? Now, if you love witches, that's up to you. I'm not talking about that. I am trying to signify what the great deception is about. What's mind control? Mind control is saying that it's okay for us to look at the Wizard of Oz and a flying monkey and a little plastic doll and these three witches and the evil witch, and there's a wizard to come to destroy them. Okay, whatever, however you want to look at it, that's fine. But the great deception tells me that the gateways to our heart is through our eyes, through our ears, through our touch, and through our taste. So if we are sitting back and Jay-Z says, Lucifer, Lucifer, star of the morning, I want to take of all of her. Lucifer, Lucifer, he's praising the devil. Nobody speaks about that. But we let our kids throw up the Illuminati sign. We let our kids listen to Jay-Z, wear our hats, wear his stuff. That's fine. We let Kanye come in our homes and tell us that Beyonce, we had the best video, and next thing you know, Taylor Swift is blowing up. Kanye got the bad rep of being the bad boy. Okay, you could think all of that is just by coincidence. People, you need to wake up. That stuff's orchestrated. There's no coincidence that Beyonce married Jay-Z. You think Beyonce, as fine as she is, would go with Mr. Gorilla? Come on, he ain't the cutest guy in the world, but he is part of the devil's crew. Okay. Now, I played CeeLo's song. CeeLo told us as people why the black race was lynched and killed. We say on a physical level because they hated black people, and maybe they did. But, like Mr. Larry Nash said, the reason why we call picnics is because they used to pick a nigger. And they would have picnics, and they would eat their little sandwiches and do whatever they want to do, and then they go find a black person, they hang them. Pick a nigger. So if we are talking about these people coming from church and then have a picnic and for their entertainment, they're hanging black people, it's got to be a lot deeper than that, people. It can't just be physical. It's got to be spiritual. We're on a spiritual plane and a physical plane. You can believe it or not, but it's been thrown in your face every moment of the day. The Bible, I've told you what the Bible said. The Bible said that the heart is wicked. James told you that the tongue is the only thing that cannot be stopped or controlled. That means he says you put a bit in a horse's mouth to try to control the horse. What bit do we put in our mouth to stop cursing out our loved ones? What do we put in our mouth to stop hurting the people that we love the most? What do we put in our mouths to make somebody feel like they are lower than the dirt? Because they don't have the right income, because they don't have the right clothes. We talk about bullying, but nobody, okay, I wouldn't say nobody, people are trying to do bullying, but they are going about it the wrong way. I've already talked about bullying, so I won't recycle that. But I wanted to tell my listeners, I charge you to look into this stuff yourself. Okay? I played Eminem's song, My Darling. Why did I play Eminem's song, My Darling? Because Eminem, like I said earlier, is the most prolific white rapper in our generation. Eminem got so much skills, he transcends it, the color line. Black people would thump Eminem because he's got something to say. But when he wants to say something, the industry, Dr. Dre, listen to the song, it's called My Darling, stops him because the devil has already got him because he signed his life away. He said, who's Slim? Slim is nothing but a bottle of hair color. He want to be Marshall Mathers, but he can't because he's already signed his life away. The devil said he let his kids grow up. Now he's got to pay his dues. You don't. Hey, I'm not saying this. Eminem wrote the song. I'm just playing what him said. He wrote a song called 3 in the Morning, all right? If you look at that video, 3 in the Morning, it is the same exact video as it's the same exact song as Pink. I forgot the lyrics of it, but it is the same video as Disturbia by Rihanna. Now, for my listeners, if you look up what Disturbia is, you'll get a different definition if you are into the occult or witchcraft. When you are in Disturbia, that means that you are demonically possessed. George, how do you know that? Well, if you see every time on people in the videos, it's always black and dark, and they're always twitching, and they're always in straitjackets. Something's got to, hey, look, something's not right. So you need to do research and find out what that means. Because all of that has a meaning. All of that is a ritual, okay? That's a ritual that is dealt to satisfy Satan. And so they do that in the dark. But guess what Satan says? He wants to have mind control. He wants to make sure that he doesn't exist. So when they put it on live TV, we think that's cool. You need to think again because the TV was not designed for entertainment. The TV was designed to possess your soul. And if you don't know that, you need to call me or email me and so I can go in depth about what television and how the television was created and what it was created for, Okay, so I'm on for that. So why did I bring up the fruits of the Spirit? Because the fruits of the Spirit is how we deflect. Okay? Let me tell you something that's very profound that God has put on my heart, and I've been talking to my big brother Charles about this. God said to me, George, you remember Apostle Paul? I'm like, yeah, Jesus, I remember Apostle Paul. Well, in Corinthians, Apostle Paul tells them, he says, I have been whipped with the cat of nine tails. If you ain't seen the cat of nine tails, you need to look it up. I've been shipwrecked. What does that mean? His boat was on an island, and he was there. He's been in the sea for several days, and the sea was relentless. He said he knows what hunger is. He knows what thirst is. There was even a snake that leaped up out of the fire and bit him, and it was a poisonous snake. It was a puff adder. If you don't know what a puff adder is, you need to look that up. He's been stoned. So Apostle Paul has been through the ringer in the name of Jesus. We get upset or we get hurt. We talk about discipleship. Now, a lot of Christians talk about discipleship, and everybody got their own definition of what discipleship is. But that's why when God talks about these fruits of the Spirit, it's important. First, you got to have love. You got to have joy and peace. Forbearing. What's forbearing, George? What's forbearing? What's forbearing? Let me tell you what forbearing is. Forbearing is that peace inside of you, okay? It is that peace that is laid deep inside of you, not by your flesh, but the Holy Spirit. Once you are born again and being baptized and repented of your sins, I'm not giving a sermon. I'm telling you what God told me. But if you want to call it a sermon, then you can call this a sermon. Because I love my people. And who's my people? The human race. If I don't stand, then I will be judged. So we must know what forbearing is. We must know about long suffering. Okay? We got to have self-control. These are the things that they're telling us. How can Apostle Paul go through what he went through and still praise God in jail? Until so much that he was praising God so much that the jail cells of the prison, okay, because back in Rome in those days, they built the prisons down. Like, I know some of y'all watched that Batman movie where when Batman was in that deep old cave and he had to climb out the cave and make it out just like Bane did because Bane was the only child. That's how they used to build the prisons, deep in the ground. So when he prayed, think about that Batman scene because that's, oh, Lord, don't get me started. So when he prayed, all the cells of the door cells open up because there was an earthquake that happened. And no one left the cells. And the guards themselves gave themselves to Christ at the same time. Because Paul had the love, the peace, the forbearing, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, the self-control to understand that what he was going through, he had peace. He had patience. He had benignity. He had goodness. He had longevity. He had mildfulness. He had modesty. He had consistency. He had charity in his heart. Did he have strife saying, Lord, look what you did. You put me in the jail. You did all this stuff. You said that you were going to protect me. You took my money. You make me hungry. You had a snake bite me. You shipwrecked me. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. What kind of Lord are you? Who are you? You're not Christ. You're not Jesus. If you loved me, you would save me. Huh? If you're Christ, you would save me. Because you are above all things. Well, because we're murmuring about that stuff in our lifetime right now, it's the same thing that happened. It is the same thing that happened to the Israelites when they were in Egypt. I can't say Babylon because when they were in Babylon, they was getting their swerve on, baby. They forgot all about Christ Jesus. What happened to the Native Americans? What happened to the Negroes? What happened to the niggas that got put on a boat on the transatlantic slave trade? We didn't know who Jesus was, but he was introduced by the people that love Jesus. Not saying that all of them was, you know, treating people, slaves good, but they were, the thing is, people, is that God said that everybody will have a chance or opportunity to know Christ Jesus. And do you know when my mothers, my sisters, my fathers, my brothers, the slaves that prayed to God on their knees every night, when they did supplemental prayers, when they gave God that understanding of moaning and singing spiritual praise, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. When they were singing that stuff, you don't think God heard them? You don't think that the essence of the words was transcending up? Well, I'm about to get down to the real nitty gritty on y'all, because I'm about to go to Exodus. Everybody know Exodus because Bob Marley sung about Exodus. But I'm about to go to Exodus and show y'all what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that prayer, right? I'm talking about Exodus. No, thank you. Let me. My phone is acting. Praise Jesus anyway. Praise him anyway. Praise him. You got to praise him through the good times and the bad times. You got to praise him. So I'm about to go to Exodus 5. I'm about to go to Exodus 5 on you. All right, and I want y'all to listen carefully. That's why, thank you, I appreciate that. I know that. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, let me break this story down for you. Okay, in Exodus 5, Moses was given the commandment, him and Aaron was commanded to go to Pharaoh to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go. God specifically told them that I will harden Pharaoh's heart and I will create miracles. But I want you to hear what Moses tells Jesus. This is what I want you to hear. I want you to pay close attention to what Brother Moses was not hearing to God.
Feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord that I should
Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let their more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get you straw where you can find it, yet not aught of your work shall be diminished. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hasted them, saying, fulfill your works, your daily tasks, as when there was straw. And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, wherefore have ye not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as heretofore? Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? There is no straw given unto thy servants. And they say to us, make brick. And behold, thy servants are beaten, but the fault is in thine own people. But he said, ye are idle, ye are idle. Therefore ye say, let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you. Yet shall ye deliver the tale of bricks. And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case, after it was said, ye shall not minish aught from your bricks of your daily task. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way, as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all.
Now that we heard that, I still gotta play the next part, which is chapter 6, because it gets deeper. I want y'all to hear this.
Exodus 6. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand he will drive them out of his country. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they resided as foreigners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. Then the Lord said to Moses, go tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of his country. But Moses said to the Lord, if the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me, since I speak with faltering lips? Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron about the Israelites and Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he commanded them to bring the... Exodus 7. Then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt, and with mighty acts of judgment I will bring out my divisions, my people, the Israelites.
Israelites, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "When Pharaoh says to you, perform a miracle, then say to Aaron, take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh, and it will become a snake." So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Pharaoh then summoned wise men and sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians also did the same things by their secret arts. Each one threw down his staff, and it became a snake. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Pharaoh's heart is unyielding. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning as he goes out to the river. Confront him on the bank of the Nile and take in your hand the staff that was changed into a snake. Then say to him, 'The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to say to you, let my people go so that they may worship me in the wilderness. But until now you have not listened. This is what the Lord says. By this you will know that I am the Lord. With the staff that is in my hand, I will strike the water of the Nile, and it will be changed into blood. The fish in the Nile will die, and the river will stink. The Egyptians will not be able to drink its water.' The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron, take your staff and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over the streams and canals, over the ponds and all the reservoirs, and they will turn to blood. Blood will be everywhere in Egypt, even in vessels of wood and stone.' Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord had commanded. He raised his staff in the presence of Pharaoh and his officials and struck the water of the Nile. And all the water was changed into blood. The fish in the Nile died, and the river smelled so bad that the Egyptians could not drink its water. Blood was everywhere in Egypt. But the Egyptian magicians did the same things by their secret arts, and Pharaoh's heart became hard. He would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said. Instead, he turned and went into his palace and did not take even this to heart. And all the Egyptians dug along the Nile to get drinking water because they could not drink the water of the river. 7 days passed after the Lord struck the Nile."
All right, I want y'all to kind of do a rewind with me. Couple great things that I want to break the parallel of the physical world to the spiritual world. So hang on with me. We'll get there. First of all, we know that God told Aaron and Moses and Aaron to go do his work. First of all, we know Moses was talking about he had faulty lips, he couldn't talk and all that stuff. God said, "Don't worry, I got your cousin Aaron. He's going to have your back. Let's go. Just go on and do it," right? So he goes and tells him. Pharaoh gets mad and says, "You know what? Take the straw away from them and make them gather their own straw." So now, this is the very interesting part, because I'm going to use the international version on this one. It says that they reduced the straw, but still was made to maintain the same quota for the same jobs. And then the overseers were beaten. Now, who were the overseers? Remember we talked about the Willie Lynch thing? Well, the overseers in that day was the same Israelites that was kin to them. So you had kinship, telling somebody else to do something else, but they was of the same race or the same ethnicity. They were Hebrews. So the overseers were the Hebrews. So it caused turmoil. See that, Willie Lynch thought? Okay, I'm trying to take you there. We're going to move forward. So they getting beaten, and they like, listen, you tell me that they still got to do this stuff to make this, but we can't make them go fetch the new straw, make new brick and all this stuff and have the same. It just don't. We can't do that, Pharaoh. Pharaoh replies. He says in verse 17, 5:17. He says Exodus 5:17. He says a New International Version. He says Pharaoh says lazy. That's what you are, lazy. That is why you keep saying, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Now go to get to work. You will not be given straw, yet ye me must produce your full quota of bricks. Now, let's move to the modern day. What they say about black people? What they say about Mexicans? Oh, they just lazy. Lazy, I tell you. They don't want to get off of welfare. They love welfare. But you take our schools away, huh? What? You do what? You take our schools away. You take urban developing programs away from us. You take good housing away from us. You take the good teachers and don't pay them nothing away from us. You take good policemen away from us. You take away good hospitals from us. Now we got to go to charity hospitals. So do you see what I'm getting at, people? You see what I'm getting at? God says he hardened Pharaoh's heart. He hardened Pharaoh's heart because he wanted to show them signs. So what I'm telling you on a spiritual level, you better get the fruits of the Spirit. Because if you don't have the fruits of the Holy Spirit, it's going to be a long race for you. 300, 400 years of slavery. They say we free, but we really not free. Don't give us nothing to make men's meat. Then when we do make men's meat, like the Tulsa riots, the Black Wall Street, profitable black people, burn the whole city down. Take all that jewels and all that money. But you still want them to make the full quota of bricks. You still want them to be productive citizens. You still want them to be happy-go-lucky. Are we in the flesh or are we in the spirits, black people, my Hispanic people? Are we in the spirits or are we in the flesh? Because the flesh tells us, Pharaoh says, make them work harder. They're lazy. Lazy is what they are. Verse 17. That's what verse 17 says. Then verse 19 and 18 says that, it said, now get to work. Don't give them no straw. Okay, fine. That's why black people make things work. That's why Hispanic make things work. We make nothing out of something because God has put that in our spirits already. All we got to do is just show up and show out because that's in our bodies. That's our gifts of the Spirit. We've already got that. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 19 says that the Israelites' overseers recognized that they were in trouble when they were told, you are not to reduce the number of bricks required of you each day. When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them, and they said, the Lord looked on you and judged you. You have made us... inaccessible to Pharaoh and his officials and have put us to the sword in their hand to kill us. Why would those overseers say that? Why would they say that? Bypass. Bypass. Why would the Israelites overseers say that? Because we are murmuring. We don't see the future of what God. God told Aaron and Moses that he will deliver them, but there's some things they got to do in order to get to the promised land. Got to have patience and forbearing. Got to have love and peace. You can't wear your heart on your sleeve. Like I was telling you, your heart is wicked. Your tongue can't be controlled. Brothers and sisters, I am here to tell you, Lucifer, Lucifer, son of the morning, Lucifer, Lucifer. It's okay now for us to praise the devil in the open, right? It's okay. okay to make songs about the devil and just bump our head to it, huh? But as soon as we bring up Jesus, somebody, who? Bypass. Listen, we got to stand to our feet, people. Get the fruits of the Spirit. And let me wind it up with this, because there's a whole lot of these I got to read. It says, we've got to be immersed with the fire. It's like a fire that shot through their bones when they felt in the day of Pentecost now. After they got the Great Commission, they went to the day of Pentecost. And fire of the Holy Spirit was shot through their bones. He didn't say electricity. He didn't say somebody was sprinkled. He said fire. You ever put your hand over a burning candle? Hot fire shot through their bones. The Holy Spirit burnt up everything. It burnt up everything. Everything. He burnt it up. That's what the Holy Spirit did. Let me tell you about the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you about this Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 5:18, it says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein to exceed, but to be filled with the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized in one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. Whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Romans 8:9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, now if any man has not the same Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. What? Okay, check yourself. Check your ignorance. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed upon the day of damnation, of redemption. Excuse me. Whereby are the sealed up to the day of redemption. Acts 4:31. And when they have prayed, and place was shooken where they were assembling together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the words of God with boldness. Did he say like a pussycat? Did he say he bowed his head and he was whispering, he was murmuring, I can't hear you. He said words of God with boldness. You better get your voice pumped up loud. Romans 5:5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Acts 9:17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, saying, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way of thou comest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. You got to read Acts to understand what that means, because I can go about it, but you got to read it. Acts 2:38. That's where us apostolic people get our. That's where I'm apostolic Pentecostal. So this is where we get our doctrine from, right here. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of your sins, and ye shall be receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He didn't say the Father. He didn't say the Son. He said in the name of Christ, the name of Jesus Christ. He didn't say the name. He didn't say the Father. He didn't say the Son. He didn't say the Holy Spirit, because those are not names. Those could be nicknames, but those are not names. The name of God is Jesus Christ. So if you're going to baptize somebody, baptize them in the name of Jesus. Now, when Jesus got baptized, he got baptized by John the Baptist, which he said, you know, I'm not even worried to lace your feet. But he said, you know, Jesus said, but in order for the prophecy to be fulfilled, you've got to do this. So he said, by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, the Holy Ghost came down like a dove from heaven. Now that Jesus has been baptized, he repented from his sins, if he had any. He probably didn't. Not probably, he didn't have any sins. But he came to break the tradition of man, okay? Jesus, which is God, was in the flesh. And then God sent down a dove in order for him to get the Holy Ghost, which he already had, but he had to get it while he was in the physical form, you see. So when Jesus was died on the cross, us apostolics like to say, Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, and every one of you in the name of Jesus, because Jesus had already done, ascended to hell, got the keys, and went into heaven. He descended and then ascended. Okay? Anyway, that was my little speech for those people who want to know my denomination. John 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is fulfilled and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offers himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from the death works to serve the living God? Ephesians 1:13-14. In whom ye also trust, after that ye have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after thou you believe, ye shall seal with that of the Holy Spirit of promise. Let me see. Ooh, that's a lot of them. That's a lot of them. I got it. Ooh. There's a lot of them in there. But let me get to this one. Then we'll get to some Luke. So Luke says, and behold, I send the promise my Father upon you, but tarry ye the city of Jerusalem until ye be indulged in the power of the high. Luke 11:13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall ye, Heavenly Father, give Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, to them that ask? Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you, because he hath anointed you to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to relieve the sight of the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. That is some deep stuff. Deep. Brother Charles, I need something from you, Brother Charles. I need you to give me the survival kit. And then my brother Charles said this. He said bypass. He a fool. He says a passage of one side essential to deflect route using to return to a city. Turn, carry a fluid around by part or back to the main stream. I love you, brother. I love you. He says, Acts 2:17-18. Peter says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Brother Charles, I need that survival kit. I need those two things for the survival kit. The Holy Spirit's gonna give us. Okay? So why am I bringing these things up? Because once again, I want to arm you, listeners. I've got some of the smartest, loving, understanding people that listen to my show. I want to let you know, when God commanded Aaron and Moses to do that, Moses comes up with every excuse not to do what God told him to do. God kept telling him, don't worry, just do what I told you to do. Read Exodus. You'll see it. Okay, this is the survival kit, okay? This is the survival kit. When you got the Holy Spirit, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do in order to help our flesh, okay? We're not talking about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit don't give it to you. But we're talking about our flesh, because we talked about how the heart is so emotional. We get all wrapped up. Well, my brother Charles got a coin phrase called survival kit, the spiritual survival kit. And these are the two things that we need to, two bullet points we need to look at. How to handle your sin, and how do you study your Bible? If y'all don't get that, don't worry. Pray to God. He will give you those answers. Let me say that. Let me reiterate. How do you handle your sin? And the second one is how do you study your Bible? Let me do a reflection of the great deception. One, to make sure that the devil himself and his dominions are not believed in. Two is mind control over the masses. Three, well, we're not talking about mind control. We're talking about through media, through evolution, through science, even through math. And the third is to destroy the Bible without having to burn it. Okay? Because you know, when you burn the Bible, that's a physical thing. You know what I'm saying? So if we got people in the church, or we got people who work for Satan, and they just out there burning the Bible, people get mad because other countries burn the American flag. They get upset, right? So what would happen if people start burning the Bible, start burning the Quran, the Torah, the Torah? Huh? If you don't know what the Torah is, the Old Testament, or is also considered to be called the Torah. All right? The Quran. Just like the Quran, but the Quran is Islam. The Quran and the Torah is the Old Testament. So what are we doing? And those are the things that, if you have a Bible and you don't pick it up, how are you arming yourself against the devil? You'll go run out and buy a gun or a knife to protect you from being, or a taser to be from being assaulted or attacked, right? Because you don't want to be hurt physically. You don't want to do that. So what do you think your spirit's gonna do? What are you doing with your spirit? You're just gonna be like, oh, God's gonna protect me. He said he's gonna protect me. No, there's some work you gotta put in. You gotta put in some work. God gives us an opportunity to know who He is. If you say you love Him and you know Him, then you need to pick up the Bible. Don't believe everything the preacher say, because you need to know for yourself. He cannot preach you into heaven. I don't care how many Sunday schools you go to. I don't care how many sermons you attend. I don't care if you number one, you ain't missed a day since you went to that church. That does not get you into your kingdom of heaven, because faith without works and works without faith is dead. You got to get yourself out of that pulpit. You got to get yourself out of the church, and you've got to hit the streets. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus hang out in the church? Because last time I heard Jesus, he gave a sermon. He gave a sermon, and he was on a boat for one of them. He was on a boat, and there was masses of people on the hilltop. I don't remember that being a church or a synagogue. because they had synagogues back then, because God could have easily went into the synagogue and preached all day, every day, because he did. But the God stepped out on in the roads. He went where the rubber meet the road. He was walking in the streets with the sinners, with the prostitutes, with the drunkens, with the poor, with the leper, with the sick, with the hungry. But nowadays we can't get our hands dirty. Oh no, it's a different time now. He might hurt me. Well, nobody says you got to be stupid. But if you get your people together and go paint your church, let's take time out and say, you know what, we're going to set a date. We're going to take that building fund that we've been saying that we've been getting tithes and all that stuff from. We're going to set up a date, and I want not only the community, I mean, not only the people in this church, but I want you to bring the community to help us better, our church. Because even though they don't go to this church, you're making a difference. So how are we going to arm ourselves against that spiritual form? Because we protect ourselves physically. Let's protect ourselves spiritually. So my brother got called, once again, called it a survival kit, toolkit, a survival toolkit. You need to know how to handle your sin. And two, you need to know how to study your Bible. I keep reiterating because those are so important. Let me say this to you. Have you ever done something and it keep on seeming like nothing's working? You keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it, and it just don't seem to work. But all of a sudden, you come to revelation that your sister or your friend did you wrong and you got hatred in your heart. See, God wants you to love regardless of the circumstance. That's why you got to praise him in the good times and the bad times. Because when it's good, it's good, but when it's bad, it's really bad. So you got to kill your flesh. You got to die daily. You got to carry your cross daily. That's right, because God is love. Okay, but my brother Charles said, Jesus was led by the Spirit, Holy Spirit, to go where he was needed, community, church, streets, highways, and the Internet. Oh, I forgot. You can't forget the Internet. The Internet, the highway to the devil. You know why? Because you could get anything you desire, anything you want, anything you desire. You pop it in Google, you can get it. You pop it in Bing, you can get it. You put yourself in any engine search. You can type it in there, and it'll pop up for you, and your desires of your flesh is right there. That's instant gratification, satisfaction. What happened to my brothers and sisters who cried every night and day because they ain't got money to buy their children what they want? They are depressed. They are going to everybody but the source. You need to go to God and pray with the earnest heart, because when Elijah prayed to God, he prayed to God and says, please do not rain. Please don't let it rain, God. God closed up the heavens so it wouldn't rain. But then when it rained again, it only because Elijah prayed it to be so. So when you pray with an earnest heart. Ask Daddy what you want. He will give it to you in his time. You got to be patient, because when he gives it to you, it's when you need it the most. See, what I've learned is you've got to fall down and hit the bottom of the barrel. I'm talking about the dirty, nasty grease pit with all the grease trap. You got to fall to the grease trap, okay? And when you clean the grease trap out, you get put in new oil. You don't pour old oil in the old grease trap. You clean the grease trap out. And then you pour the new oil. Now you got fresh frying food. See, God wants you to hit that grease spot so he can pick you up and say, you know what? I didn't need none of that. But you've got to be willing to open up your heart, your mind, and your spirit to give it to God. Because if you think that it's going to come free, you need to read the book of Job. Because the book of Job tell you ain't nothing coming free. This brother of God said not only did he put a sacrifice for himself and his wife, but he made sacrifices and offerings unto God for all his children, just in case they didn't do or missed a day or didn't do it right. It's how you handle your sin and how do you study your Bible. You say, George, you're talking a good game. You're talking a good game. What about you? Hey, listen, bro. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I'm human. But there has been in the last few days where I had to just tell myself, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, and bite my flesh, bite my tongue, and hold in my peace, because the vile venom that I was going to spew would have not been received nicely. Now, I told you, James told you, the Apostle James told you, it's impossible to tame the tongue. It's untamable. But that's why God put one of the fruits of the Spirit, self-control. Self-control. If you don't have self-control, then brothers and sisters, you are struggling. It's hard to give self-control. But what we can do is pray to God that he can give us strength and patience. Because that's what it's about, the fruits of the Spirit. Because that's what it's about, the fruits of the Spirit. My brother Charles said Ephesians 4:22-24. It says to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceit, desires. 23, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. 24, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in the truth of righteousness and holiness. And let the church say amen. I'm going to wrap it up saying this. When I tell people I love them, When I tell in this point in time right now, when I say I love you, I have to love you because I have to answer for my words. There's another profound thing my brother Charles said that just slapped me all in the face. There's actually two things that I'm going to say. But the anointing, call it a remix, but the anointing was flowing when we were talking. So our revelations are not from flesh, but giving through God, through the Holy Spirit. He said to me, when you look in the mirror, you see your reflection. But when we're the place where we were, there was this ballerina mirror. And it was, a good maybe 10, 15 yards. And God put on my heart and says, I am the Alpha and Omega. You will look at the beginning, when the book of life is open, you will look at your beginning of your life in this mirror, and you will take a walk down memory lane and say, oh, yeah, I remember that, Jesus. Oh, until you get to the very end of your death. And you've got to answer for and account for everything. We people talk about accountability, but they don't understand about accountability through the spirit. We talk about spirit, we talk about fleshly accountability all day, every day. But what about your spiritual accountability? I'm not talking about going to your brother or your sister and saying, oh, you know you're doing wrong. They know they're doing wrong. Just encourage them and say, you know what, I'll pray for you. They don't need the other sidebar. They don't need that. They need that love. They need that compassion. They need reassurance. Because this spiritual walk is hard. It's easy to look through somebody's eye, but be ye the first, cast the first stone. Brother Charles, give me that. Give me the scripture with the plank in your eye. Give me the plank, the straw in your eye. I need that scripture so I can look it up real quick. I don't know it off the top of my head. But it's important that we love people. Because people are going to say they love you. If they tell you they love you and they don't know you, just accept it. And the reason why I say accept it is because God will judge their love according to him. If they do you wrong, pray for them. For they know not what they do. When Jesus was being hanged on the cross, when Stephen was being stoned to death, he says, God, please forgive them, for they know not what they do. Have you ever had a rock thrown at you? Have you ever been in a hailstorm and it was coming down from the sky? Think about people throwing rocks at you, big, huge stones, being stoned all the way to death while you're still alive, people. That is forbearing. That is long-suffering. Because it is Matthew 7. Let me get back to this. The thing that I was saying about the reflection about your brothers and sisters, about you Christians who claim to be Christians, those who have religion, who think they have religion. You cannot judge a Christian because they're doing wrong. You pray for them. And the reason why I say that, this comes from Matthew 7:3. It says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? That is very important, okay? Very important. What Jesus was saying is how are you going to talk about somebody when yourself is not in order? Because it's a difference between encouraging a brother or sister and trying to put the word of God on their brother and sister. If they're in church, they should know the word of God. They know they're sinning. But just because you parade around like you ain't ever sinned a day in your life, like you ain't never listened to Nat King Cole or Aretha Franklin while nobody listening or looking at you, or you sneak or something which you shouldn't be doing, that nobody will see you. But yet still you want to come hard on your brothers and sisters. Listen, you don't have to shake and bake me. You can shake and bake me all you want, but God gonna give me discernment, and then I'm gonna have to pluck you out my eye, and then I'll have to pray for you. I say this, let's give our flesh the decrease so God can get the increase. The phrase is, don't talk about it, be about it. That's all I'm going to say. Don't talk about it, be about it. For those who hadn't heard the song, I'm going to play it again for y'all. Here you go. This is called Lucifer by Jay-Z and Kanye West.
Yeah. Lucifer, dawn of the morning, I'm gonna take you out of earth. Lucifer, dawn of the morning.
capital where we murder for capital. Kanye, see, you did it again. You a genius. So you niggas change your attitude. Funny asking what happened to you. Lord forgive him. He got them dark forces in him. But he also got a righteous cause for sending them a murder me. So I gotta murder them first. Emergency. Doctors performing procedures. Jesus. I ain't trying to be facetious. But vengeance is mine, said the Lord. You said it better than all. Leave niggas on death's door. Breathing off. Rest for raiders for killing my best four haters. On permanent high haters as I skate in the Maybach Benz. Slide into annihilation. Pumping brown sugar by D'Angelo in Los Angeles, like an evangelist. I can introduce you to your makeup, bring you closer to nature. Ashes after they cremate you bastards. Hope you've been reading your songs and chapters, paying your tithes, being good Catholics. I'm coming. Murder capital, will be murder for capital. So you need to change your attitude. Buddy, ask yes, what happened to you. Holy war, I wet y'all all with the holy water. Spray from the heck law. Catch order, medic or the static. Child cease to exist like a thematic. Who I throw a couple at you, take six. Spread love to all of my dead thugs. I pour out a little Louis to a head above. Yes, sir. And when I perish, the meek shall inherit the earth. Till that time is on and popping. Church, like Don Bishop, the fifth of Palm Cop Eva. Lift up your soul and give you the Holy Ghost. Please, I leave you with somebody's cathedral. With something like Evil Knievel. I let you see where that bright light leads you. The more you talk, the more you irk in us. The more you gon' need memorial services. The Black Album, second verse is like devil's pie. Say some dessert for us. Man, I gotta get my soul right. I gotta get these devils out my life. These cowards gonna make a nigga ride. They won't be happy till somebody dies. No, man, I gotta get my soul right. For I'm locked up for my whole life. Every time it seems it's all right. Let me get somebody want their soul to rise. I chase you off in the dark. Dreams the hole in the 9 mm, the barb killer. Asking them why as my eyes fill up. These days I can't wake up with a dry pillow. Gone but not forgotten, homes I still feel you. So curse the day that birthed the bastard who caused your church mad. Reverse the crash, reverse the blast, and reverse the car. Reverse the day, and there you are. Barb law, Lord forgive them, we all have sinned. But Barb's a good dude, please let him in. And if you feel in my heart that I long for revenge, please blame it on the sun of the morning.
Okay, now that we heard that, for y'all who haven't, see, I don't be going and looking for stuff. I don't. If they don't play it on the radio, you don't know nothing about this stuff. But when you go and you're doing read your research about the Bible, and all of a sudden you come across stuff like this. How can we as a society be okay for somebody we claim to be a part of hip-hop? Two people, Kanye West wrote the song, Jay-Z produced it, so they're both on the track. And they spiritually are talking about the devil and what the devil's going to do and how he's going to beat Jesus. So what I want to do is charge people who are listening to this to go and look up the lyrics of his song. It's called Lucifer. Just type it in, Lucifer Jay-Z or Kanye West. It'll pop up for you. And listen to the lyrics. Because these are the same people that are put on our TV and put on the media for us to say, oh, and don't he own a basketball team? Isn't his wife Beyonce? So you can't tell me that Beyonce don't know what Jay-Z doing. You can't tell me that Kardashian girl don't know what Kanye doing. People, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. They put it in our face, but we are spiritually blind to it because we don't want to accept it. And the Bible says you better speak with boldness. What that scripture say? Speak with boldness. Let me go and find that again because it resonated in my spirit. You gotta come with some boldness, talking all weak. Let's see here. Acts 4:31. And they had prayed. The place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke with the word of God with boldness. You got to speak to these people with boldness. You can't be afraid. What are you afraid of? Of death? Come on. God will reward you because the last breath you were saying before you died was God, Father. You were speaking about him, and then they murdered you for that? Your family may weep, but when they make it to the kingdom of heaven, God will give them a little pat on the back. You'll be all right. But listen to what I'm saying. You cannot be afraid of what they're already doing to us. Because what do they say about the court of law? The court of law says if you know something and you don't say nothing, you are associated with it by law. So because we don't say nothing, we associate it with it. Okay? So if you don't say nothing, you don't stand up for it, then Jay-Z and his little dominions are going to continue to make negative music every day, all day. It's because, one, the devil don't want people to know he exists. But if the devil don't exist, why Jay-Z singing about him? You ever thought about that? Why is Kanye wearing a big old head of horror or the eye of raw? Why is he wearing that in that song of power? Why? Because he exists. But the devil don't want you to know that. Two, to have mind control. Well, if you ain't never heard of Lucifer, but you rock Jay-Z and say Jay-Z the best rapper since sliced bread, you best think again. If you believe in evolution and the sciences and science and all that mathematical stuff they come up with, that's nothing but manipulation from the devil. Now, I'm not saying that all science is bad. I'm saying the ones they use to manipulate the children of God. And thirdly, it's to destroy the Bible without having to burn it. Well, you best believe they are doing a great job because we in the streets thumping Jay-Z, more than we are picking up. We're reading Harry Potter. We're reading The Hunger Games. We're reading How Stella Got Her Groove Back and all this other garbage, but we don't want to pick up the Bible. Not even for 5 minutes. Time yourself for 5 minutes and see how many scriptures you can get in 5 minutes. Time yourself and see how many scriptures you can get in 30 minutes. If you read the scripture, that's a 30-minute show that you just watched. Mine is commercials. You could read 2 or 3 books by that point. You could at least read John 1, 2, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, Jude, Titus. You can read all of them in 30 minutes. I'm a little slow when I read, so it might take me a little longer, but you scholars who got good education and good, not that I don't got no education, but I'm just saying, people who are really good into that reading stuff, they got that. So I'm going to play this last little thing, the Eminem song, all right? Here we go, Eminem.
Yeah.
Less than a minute, but this is what I really want to say to you, my listeners, because I want to read the hook says, because I possess your soul, your mind, your heart, and your body, and I don't want you to ever leave me, my darling. It's called My Darling by Eminem. My Darling. I want you to look it up and listen up to the lyrics. He said, that's why I tell you, you need to guard your mind, your body, and your spirit from this. That's why I keep telling y'all people. Eminem tells you, if you listen to his lyrics, he says, listen, because I want to possess your soul, your mind, your heart, and your body. What did I tell you about the heart? The heart is wicked. My brother Charles says, Timothy 1:4-7, 8 says, have nothing to do with the relevant silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. 8, for the while bodily training for self-value, godliness is the value in every way, as it holds the promise of the present life and also for the life to come. I'm George Beverly. Thank you for listening to me tonight. This is Sound Off. We will see you on Monday. And if next time I hear you, you should be sounding off.